We're so glad you joined us today. There is so much that God wants to do in and through you, and we want to hear about it. Please take a moment to share your story with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.
We came out of Lifesavers, and I'm going to go ahead and touch on it because I'm never going to stop touching on it, and that is this. There should be four people all the time that you're praying for, that you're establishing a relationship with, and that ultimately you are inviting to church because, man, we want to change the world. So if you did not do that last week, do it. Ask the Lord to show you four people. Begin to pray for them. Establish a relationship with them, not with a motive, but hopefully you're praying for them because you love them. And you're in relationship with them because you love them and you want something better for them. And that's the best thing you can give them is Jesus. And the third thing is invite them, man. I'm going to tell you what, if it's a bad restaurant, I'm going to try to talk you out of going. But if it's a good one, I'm going to try to get you to go. Man, this is the best thing that ever happened to me was Jesus. Man, be before Jesus. You don't even want to know that guy. So we came out of the Lifesaver series. And so next week we launch our second service, which will be at two times. The first time will be 9 in the morning. I had somebody ask me if our service times were a.m. or p.m. I mean, you think I'm doing an 11 o'clock service? It's hard to. Anyway, and the second one is 11. So the first one's at
9.
Second one's at a. Okay. So I'm sitting there and I'm going, okay, Lord, we just came out of Lifesaver series and we talked about evangelism. We talked about reaching people. And that's going to be a reoccurring theme for me for the rest of my life and probably the rest of yours as long as you go to church here. But I sat there this week, and I began to do a lot of self-examination. I was like, Lord, where do you want me to go next? And if you go to my office, there's this big 4x8 whiteboard, and literally it's got all the dates of the month on it, and I do what's called a preaching calendar. And as the Lord lays stuff on my heart, I'll kind of start scheduling it out. And generally, it's just the idea, but I'll go ahead and give it a time when I want to preach it, because if I don't put dates on myself, stuff just doesn't get done. So I have to put deadlines on myself of when I want to do things. And then if it's just a really good idea, it's just written randomly on the board. Like there's just all these like loose ideas that I'm not really sure what the Lord wants to do with. And then in my iPad, there's a whole nother list of loose ideas that haven't made it to the whiteboard yet. Yeah. So like it's there. It's always a thing. And so I was looking at this week and I was like, Lord, what do I need to do? You know, what do you really want me to preach? So I started going around, and I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to some pastors that I really like, because if you're going to give out, you have to take in. You can't spend money you haven't made. Well, I guess you can, but they call that debt. You can't preach something you haven't received. So, man, I started listening to all these preachers. And so, man, there's some pastors out there that make me feel bad about myself. They're good. Like, they say this stuff, and I'm like, where did you even get that? How did you, right? And then I open my phone up and I go on social media and people are eating better food than I am. And they're going better places than I'm going. And their kids are always doing the right thing and their cars are always clean and they're net right. They're like, it's like, there was a night this week I got so, I don't have my phone on me, that I got so frustrated with just a bunch of stuff going on that I just took my phone and I laid it face down and muted it. And I never do that. Like my phone's on 24/7 in case somebody needs me. And my wife came home, and I'm sitting on the recliner. I probably just went off Instagram, but it'd be all right. They can hear me. And I sat down in the recliner, and my wife comes home, and she's like, are you okay? Because your phone's in the middle of the floor, and you're just sitting in here. And I'm like, yeah. I need the whole world to be quiet just for a minute. And I wasn't having a mental breakdown or anything else, but there are times when, I promise, I wasn't. I was good. But there are times when you just have to tell the world to be quiet, because what I figured out was that I had got caught up a little bit in a comparison game. And I had begun to compare what God was doing in my life to what God was doing in other pastors' lives. And was I better or worse than they were? And then I looked at some staffing issues that we had going on, and I'm like, well, other churches don't have staffing issues. That's a lie. I 2 weeks ago, I met with the pastor, and they fired like half their staff. So we're doing okay, right? But do you notice what I just did? I just compared my success or failure based on somebody else. And then I go on social media and I was right. And after a while, what begins to happen is your life begins to become compared to everything going on around you, not to what it should be. So what did I do? I went to Scripture, because for me, Scripture is always my magnetic north. It's just always going to be there. It always works. I can always count on it, and I can always get my bearing. I'm a scuba diver, and I'm on a rescue team. One of the things that we do is we'll black our masks out so we can't see. So everything's done by touch. So when you're underwater, everything, you know, and we'll have to put bolts together and put washers in them, and they have to be the right size, and they're millimeters apart, and it's really frustrating. But then inevitably what will happen is somebody will come up behind you, and they'll just shut your air off. It's a fun group of people. But they do it, not to be mean, but they want you not to panic. And after a while, you just roll your eyes and go, okay, I can't breathe. I need to undo this. And you throw everything up, and you turn your tank back on, and you just reach around to try to find them to do something horrible to them if you get the opportunity, right? But the other thing they'll do is they'll come up, and they'll just grab you and roll you around. And the idea is to get you disoriented. We have to swim through some barrels and stuff, and what they'll do is they'll just grab you and kind of washing machine you a little bit and get you all... So that you have to figure out which way is normal. Here's the thing. Which way do bubbles go underwater? It's a giveaway. If you get turned around underwater, you're not very smart. But, you know, is life really a whole lot different? Doesn't everything ultimately from earth go to heaven? And from heaven... to earth. So if you can establish a magnetic north, you always know the direction that you're going to have to go in. You always know where your sustenance comes from. You always know where your oxygen comes from. You always know where the stuff you need comes from. But the problem is we get to looking at everything else. Watch this. 1 Thessalonians 4:10-12. You're going to have to forgive me. I did not put slides up this week, but 1 Thessalonians, I had a veggie tail moments. Thessalopians? 1 Thessalonians 4:10-12. 1 Thessalonians 4:10-12. And I love the way this is written. I'm going to read it out of the New King James, which is what most of these will be except for a couple. It says, indeed, you also do towards the brethren who are in Macedonia. Let me set up a little bit about Thessalonians as he's talking about the way that things ought to be done. And he says this, he said, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that also that you aspire to live a quiet life. Now, I want you to pay attention to these next couple of sentences. To mind your own business. To work with your own hands. Now, hold on. This goes against every social media and cultural item that we're doing right now in society. So, first of all, I encourage you to mind your own business. Now, depending on how I say that, it's going to be contextually how you interpret it. If I look at Mickey and I go, Mickey, mind your own business, that has one connotation. And I think in one text, Paul was saying, mind your own business. Because if I'm minding my business, I'm not trying to mind everybody else's business. Here's the thing. Sometimes we try to get better than the other person rather than being the best that we can be. But mind your own business can also be about your own business. Have you ever tried to do what you're doing and manage what somebody else is doing at the same time? It never works out. My wife and I cook together. And I got to be careful with this. I'm a chef that enjoys space. Now, hold on. You may not want to jump on this boat yet. But I also do everything at one time because I want all my food done at exactly the same moment. So it all, like, my pet peeve is for something to be cold when I give it to you. So my wife, we have this garlic thing. And you take it out of the cloves, and it's like a circle thing, and she does this thing with it, and then it takes part of it off, and then she puts it in this other thing, and it chops it up, and then it ends up on a plate, and you have to brush it off the plate with a special little brush. That's a lot of steps. My wife was over rolling and chopping, and I'm moving. Now, I'm I'm doing all this stuff. I've got all this stuff out on the counter, and I'm chopping, and I'm cooking, and I'm doing all that. And you know the one thing I keep talking to her about is garlic. There are 487,000 steps to what I'm making, and I'm worried about garlic. And finally, and it was funny because I was kind of preparing for this message in my mind a little bit, and finally she looked at me, she's rolling, and she stopped, and she said, "Are you doing this?" It's not always peaceful at my house, I'll just let you know. Sometimes the waters are troubled a little bit. She said, "Are you doing this or am I?" Now, what I wanted to say and what was prudent to say was not the same sentence. What I wanted to say was, I would never say this because it would incriminate myself. What I'm trying to do is get you to do exactly what I want you to do so that I can do everything that I want to do and have you basically puppet for me. But I would never say that because it's way too self-incriminating. Right? My wife looked at me and she said, "If you're doing garlic, I'll stop. But if I'm doing it, you stop." She said, "Mind your own business." See, now when you look at people and tell them to mind their own business, you say, "Look, it came out of Scripture. You can fuss at Paul. I didn't write it." Mind your own business. Now, but I like the next. It says, "And work with your own hands." What Paul is saying this, he said, don't try to do somebody else's job. Don't try to compare yourself to being what somebody else is. They're not you. And you are enough. And you're not enough all at the same time. Can I explain that? Because that's a little bit of an abstract sentence. You're enough, but at the same time, you're not. Here's the thing. You're enough to be exactly what God called you to be. But if God's really going to be everything He needs you to be, you're going to have to figure out that you're never going to be enough. That if He ever takes His hand off of you and stops working through you, it's a house of cards. It's all going to fall down. Does this make sense? But rather than trying to compare yourself to other friends and other pastors and other Christians and other, what if you just ran your race? What if you just mind your own business and did the best version of you that God could create? Well, nobody else's kids are like this. Well, you know what? Maybe you're just special enough God gave you special kids because you can handle them. See, y'all thought I was being mean to the kids. No, I'm really not. Maybe God gave you a challenging child because He knew that you were broad and wide and deep enough spiritually to raise them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord without choking them out. No, I'm really being serious. I'm not. I mean, there's a little humor in that, but maybe it's not that they're that way because you're not enough. Maybe it's that way because you are enough. Maybe the Lord put you at work with your difficult boss, not because He has some vendetta against you and wants to torture you for the next 30 years, but maybe it could be because He knew that you were strong enough to bend but not break, to be a light in a dark place, because if they're that mean to you, they're that mean to everybody else. And maybe He put you there not because He's punishing you there, but because He wants you to be a city on a hill. He wants you to shine. And maybe if you quit looking at how good every other person's job was, and you, does that make, how come when Christians get together, they want to talk about how good everything is? But when you read the Bible, that's not what they said. Paul said, "I'm pressed on every side." Can I interpret that to modern? Paul said, "This place sucks." Was that way too plain for everybody? But is that not what, I mean, Paul just said it so that nobody religious got all up in arms. Paul just said, "This is an awful place, and I'm pressed." He said, but let me finish my sentence. I'm pressed, but it ain't over. I've been hit, but I'm not knocked down. I mean, I've been through worse. I mean, I've been shipwrecked 3 or 4 times. I've been snake bit. I've been thrown into inner sanctums. I've been whipped, beat. You know, things are going pretty good. Does this make sense? But if you notice, Paul's not comparing his life to anybody else. Paul's just said, "My life's been worse. But it's going to be okay because I've been through worse." Does this make any sense to you? When you stop comparing and just let the work of your hand be what you do. Do you know who has to raise your kids? You. Not your friend on Instagram. She didn't tell you that picture of all them at the table, underneath that table is duct tape. Or 30 seconds after that, all her smoke alarms went off because she was busy taking pictures and forgot the dinner on the stove. Has anybody ever had that moment? Every Thanksgiving, and this is horrible, we burn bread. My wife burns bread. Now, I will give the background story because I think my father-in-law will attest to this most certainly. Last Thanksgiving, was it last Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving before. 2 years ago, I was in the pulpit and made fun of my wife for burning the bread. I did not mind my own business at Thanksgiving. Her stepdad had terminal cancer, and he had wandered out of the house, and she had to go take care of him and just check on her mom and that kind of thing. So all my family was coming to the house and some friends for Thanksgiving. And I'm going to grill chicken for everybody, this special olive oil and love chicken. But now my wife's not there to do everything else. So I'm out there and I light the grill off. My father-in-law's there, and he and I are really tight. He's like one of the most positive. He's always here, and he's supported us since the church started. And I started grilling chicken, and I ran in. He came in to help me with some stuff, and I look out back, and the fire coming out from my closed grill looked, actually it's funny, we ended up eating Bojangles, but I open up the grill, I go out there and I put on a fire glove from the fire department, and I open the grill, and the knobs on my grill are dripping onto my deck. The LP line is stubbed into my 300-pound tank that's buried in the ground. It's already burned through and is now just a fire thing doing this. So I had to go over and cut the emergency cut off in it. And of course, it's not going in the tank pretty quick, but it fell and my knobs are dripping. And my father-in-law, God love him, so positive. So positive. Herbie walks over and goes, you know, I think you can still eat some of that. Just cut the... If you cut it in a V, you can get, you know, like that much chicken out of all 30 pieces. So now we're laughing. Now we're laughing. I talked to I called my wife and I said, I'm going to send Brandon to Bojangles. She said, why? And I said, you know all that chicken we had? She said, yep. I said, it's gone. She said, did you drop it? I said, nope. I burn it. She said, that's what you get for making fun of me. That's exactly right. You know what I learned was that I have to run my own race, because when I try to run somebody else's race, I only trip over myself. I didn't burn the bread that year because it came in a box. Says this, he says, and mind your own business and work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly with those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. Paul said this, he said, if you really want to know what completeness is, run your race. Do you. Be okay with what you're struggling with. Do you ever notice that everything that people in the Bible struggle with, God ends up using for something great? Why are you different? God will take what you think is this thing that you've got to hide, but if you'll just bring it out and begin to deal with it. He said this, he said, man, you won't lack anything. I'll work perfection out inside of you. Galatians 6, 4 through 5 says this. It says, I like this, but let each one examine his own work. See, my problem is I'm busy examining every other person's work. That's what I did this week when I was listening to all those other pastors. I wasn't examining what I was doing. I was examining what they were doing. And here's what God spoke to me and said. He said, you know, but if I would have wanted you to be them, I would have planted you in their church. And I would have given you their people. So how about this? How about you do your work? Enjoy listening to them, but stop trying to compare yourself to them. See, if you got one kid, you can't compare yourself. A friend of mine, Dan, who came in here and preached, Pastor Dan, Dan got four kids. You can't compare our families. I've got one. That you can't compare that at all. No, just think for a minute. But you know what we do? What we do is we go, well, you know what? We're all Christians, so we're all the same. Well, no, you can have a family and the dynamic is totally different. See, you don't know where I started from. And where I started from will directly impact the trajectory. I went to Kalamazoo, Michigan one time to a conference. I had to fly into Chicago O'Hare, and I got off a big plane, and I got onto a Tylenol bottle or pill, and like literally I could hold hands with, like, I stood in the middle of the plane, and I touched both sides. They don't even serve drink. There's not even a stewardess on this plane. They're just like, get in and put your seatbelt on. The pilot, there was no door. There was just a curtain. This was before 9/11. He's like, everybody sit down. You know what I mean? Just... And I told him, he took off like this and landed like this. Literally, the lady that we were with got sick on takeoff, threw up the whole 15, 20-minute, and then threw up to the ground. We got off. There was no skyway. There was just a set of steps they rolled up to it. So I can say, I've flown. Do you mean you flew on a 727 or a 747? You flew on a Tylenol pill plane or a helicopter? Because it's not the same flight. Did you fly on an F-14 or did you fly on the merry-go-round? It's not this. Does this make sense? You can't compare. Just because you said you are doing something doesn't mean you're doing the same thing. See, I can eat dinner and eat it out of a box and a number. Give me a number one from Taco Bell, right? A couple tacos and a drink. But then you can also go to P.F. Chang's. And it's not the same experience. Is this making sense to you? Then why do you treat your faith walk like everybody's is the same? Does this make sense? This isn't a down on you message. This is a get excited message. You know what? Hey, here's the freedom. The freedom is I'm only fighting me and the devil. And you know, listen, I know pastors that if they said suck from the pulpit, there would just be, they'd burn them in effigy and they'd be, right? This is who I am. I live a real life. My wife and I don't always get along. My kid doesn't always do perfect stuff. Sometimes I listen to 80s music. I watch things other than the Bible channel. Sometimes I'm good at going to the gym. Sometimes I'm slothful. And I'm not going to try to look at you and tell you that I'm perfect, but what I am going to tell you is that I'm in process, and that when you're in process and you quit comparing yourself to everybody else, the conviction that comes won't come from external sources. It'll come from an internal speaking of the Holy Spirit. I like this. He said, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in one another. Verse 5 in Galatians 6, it says this, for each one should bear his own load. You've got stuff that only God can do through you. Because just like your journey is unique, your calling is unique. And you, my friend, whether you want to admit it or not, whether you've been saved 2 minutes or 20 years, you have a God-inspired, God-given calling to make a difference in the world around you, not after you're perfect, but while you're still broken. Does this make sense? Can I be honest with you? I don't want to talk to somebody who's got their life all together. Not like if you're perfect, like if your house is always perfect, we're not going to get along. If you've never been talked about, used, lied about, cheated on, whatever, me and you are not going to have anything in common because my life doesn't look like that. My life is full of brokenness that God put back together into something much better. And if you can't speak and we can't communicate through the brokenness, then we're probably not going to have any progress. Because if we don't share that commonality of imperfection, I can't walk with you because I've got a road that Scripture says that I have to carry. I've got a load that I have to carry. And it can only be done when I'm authentic about who I am and who God is in my life and where I'm trying to get to. See, if you've got it all figured out, it's not a load anymore. You don't ever hear anybody go, man, things are going so great, I'm just carrying the load of success. No. You know what how you doing, brother? Man, I'm just loaded down. I feel like I'm carrying some stuff. And what Jesus is trying to teach us this morning is, yeah, you're carrying some stuff. You're carrying some stuff because you're trying to move some stuff from one place to another in your own life. And if you'll only worry about what you've actually got going on rather than going and borrowing stuff from other people's houses. Like this, when I clean out my garage, I don't go knock on my neighbor's door and go, hey, you got any junk you want me to put in my garage before I start cleaning it out? because I'm just am all about moving some garbage around. So I tell you what, if you just want to back your stuff up here, just dump all your junk right in there. We don't do that, but you know what we'll do? We'll open social media and do it in a minute. You ever? I was watching TV. There's a TV commercial that says, have you ever hate-liked something? Have y'all seen that commercial? Like these people are traveling, and he's—I think it's a travel commercial—and he's like, don't hate like their vacation. Get your own. Can I say this? Don't hate like other people's lives. Live your own. Stop comparing yourself to everybody. You're not everybody else. You're you, and you're special, and you're amazing. And God has stuff that He wants you to do. He wants you to talk to people. He wants you to share the gospel. He wants you to work out your own life issues. What He doesn't want you to do is try to run somebody else's race. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to cut. Will y'all give me an extra few minutes today? Would that be okay? I'll go quickly. Psalms 138:8 says this. Psalms 138:8. I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Classic. It says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Listen to what he just said. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Because if you're going to drop comparison, it's not only other people's successes, it's also other people's failures. You know what? You know who should have been here to hear this message today? My cousin. Well, you know what? If the Lord wanted your cousin here, he'd had your cousin here. He had you here. Because the Lord will perfect that which concerns you. And in this case, it's me. God said, look, don't try to pin what I'm doing on everybody else. The Lord gave me a word. Well, you know what? Maybe that word's for you. Maybe that thing you think needs to be worked out needs to be worked out in you. He said this, he said, the Lord will perfect that which concerns you. He said, man, he said, I'm going to work everything that you think is a failure out to perfection if you'll let me work it out in you. And he goes on and he says this, he said, your mercy and your loving kindness, O Lord, endure forever. I love this. He said, but forsake not the works of your own hands. Man, there's stuff that God wants to work out and wants you to work out. He said, man, let's work some stuff out with our hands together. Let's be working on ourselves. Does this make any sense to you? 2 Corinthians 10:12 says this, we dare not classify ourselves or compare ourselves to those who commend themselves. I think if Paul was writing this in modern times, he said, we dare not classify ourselves or compare ourselves against those who are posting selfies. For we dare not classify ourselves or compare ourselves to people who are putting it on Facebook. But they measure themselves by themselves. And comparing themselves among themselves is not wise. He said this, he said, if all you're doing, we've got a friend who knows everything that happens in life on Facebook in real time. I don't know how she gets anything else done, but literally everything is coming to her in milliseconds. Like you can go, hey, did you hear? Yeah, I already saw it on Facebook. Did you hear? Facebook. Facebook. What up, Facebook? I'm like, man, if you listen to the word like that, you would be walking on water and water into wine. I mean, you just walk out to the Atlantic and be like rosé. You know what I'm talking about? It would just, I'm being serious, man. It was true. But you're more interested in what everybody else is doing. And you're comparing your life to what they're posting. Or what your neighbor's yard looks like. Our neighbors always keep a clean. Your neighbors don't have a job. They retired 20 years ago. That's all they've got. Yes, their yard looks better than ours because we're running to football practice and we're taking our kid to school and we're doing PTA meetings and we're going to mow it this weekend, but it's not going to be every other day. Amen. I'll do the best I can, but it's not their yard. And if it bothers them, they are more than welcome to mind my business and mow my yard. Just... if you'll be sure to weed eat right. I had a neighbor who mows my bank every time he mows his yard. And it used to drive me crazy. Until one day I told my wife, I said, the next time I see him out, I'm just going to say, hey, if you don't mind, just mow that whole thing for me. I'd appreciate it. And then the Lord spoke to him and said, mind your own business. He ain't hurting your yard. It's grass. You live in the country. That's 15 square feet less you have to mow. mind your business. And then I'm like, but Lord, that is my yard. You said that my territory. And he's like, don't be a smart aleck. And I'm like, yes, sir. Here's the scripture that broke my heart. Proverbs 14:30 says this. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Here's what happens is when we compare ourselves, when we're envious of other people, when we try to run other people's race rather than just working on being the best version of ourselves that we can be through Christ, and embrace our weakness. You know, without weakness in Scripture, there's nothing to talk about. The greatness of God is not perfection. It's perfection and weakness. It's healing and brokenness. It's God doing what otherwise couldn't be done. Here's what we confuse. We hate the process. You ever watch somebody, they go on a diet and they say, I can't wait till I lose 75 pounds. Well, what about 1 pound? What does 1 pound look like if you lost it? I can't wait till I'm in shape. Well, when is that going to be? Because if you start going to the gym, you start running a mile, and then guess what? A mile doesn't seem that bad. So what are you going to do? You're going to go, well, I can't wait till I can run 2 miles. Well, I can't wait till I can run 3 miles. I can't wait till... I can't wait till I get a little older. Can't wait till I get a little older. Can't wait. Well, where do all the years go? What happens? Can I put this in faith context? I just got to learn how to pray. I just got to quit cussing. I just got to stop. I just got to quit. Look how good they're doing. I'll tell you what, instead I'll just hide it. I'll just stick, you know, the company's coming, so let me put it in the closet. Everybody else's house is always clean. And a friend of mine who came in, and finally I told him, I said, bro, you came one time, I knew you were coming. You got the best version of us we could give you. And he called me the next time. I had like 12 hours notice. I said, now you're going to get the real version. Like, they went upstairs and the sheets were just on the bed. And I was like, y'all going to have to make it yourself. There might be a dish in the dishwasher. It might not be emptied when you get here. It might, you know, it may smell like Cocoa Puffs. You know what I'm talking about? You may open that. Does this make any sense to you? In our faith, man, we've got to be okay with where we're short, but in process. Because there's a beginning. I started right here. But then there's a there's a destination. A destination I'm trying to get to, right? It's a real small destination. Well, it's about all the room I got. But watch this. So I start here and I want to end here. So life teaches us to celebrate when we get saved and to celebrate when we're right, when we're clean, when we're not doing anything else wrong, when we're not stumbling or stumping our toe, right? You know, the only problem with that is this. There's always a gap. And can I be honest with you? This destination for me moves all the time. Because some days I feel like I'm here. And other days, if you don't know the truth, I feel like I'm further away than when I started. So what do we do? What do you do about the gap? What if you celebrate? Hey, you know what? I cussed one less time this week. I mean, that's something. I read my Bible once. I looked at my Bible. It's more than I used to do. When I was there, I never even looked at it. I never even felt guilty about not reading it. I'm going to celebrate that at least I feel guilty when I'm not doing what I'm supposed to. You know, we beat ourselves up over condemnation because we're comparing ourselves to everybody else rather than celebrating the fact that we're feeling something. Because my Bible says that it's the Holy Spirit that brings conviction. He brings power. He brings comfort, right? Well, if I'm feeling conviction, it means God's talking to me. That's a good thing. When was God talking to you a bad thing? But if we learn to celebrate the gap, because if this is a destination, how many times will you get there? Once. Is that the only time you really want to celebrate? Like if we just celebrated your birth and your death, we never celebrate Michael's birthday. Think about all the experience that you'll miss if you only celebrate the big victories. But if you sit down, if you will release yourself from comparing yourself to other people and just enjoy your gap. Enjoy the process. Give yourself the freedom to be in the middle, to be in the gap. Some of you all, as we come to close, some of you guys, the best thing you can do this week is turn off Instagram and Facebook. Some of y'all, the best thing you can do is stop looking at your neighbor. For real. I hate to ask you. Some of y'all, the best thing you can do is quit talking to your best friend for a little while. I'm not being ugly. I'm really not. At the end of Paul's life, he said this: I've run a good race. I fought a good fight. Anybody know the next line? Kept the faith. I finished my course. If you ask Bobby how he grew up, he's got a story. I've heard it, and it winds a little bit different than a lot of people's. I can go over to Jesse, and Jesse's got a different story in his family than I have. And I can go to Kelly, and Kelly's family story looks different than my family story. And John's family's a lot bigger than mine was, but a lot smaller than some other friends of mine. See, if we don't all start in the same place, the process is never going to be the same. Melanie came from Louisiana. That's different than Virginia and Tennessee. She's going to have experienced things that we never did. So how can we compare ourselves one to another when it's not our race? If you will embrace your limitations, embrace your challenges, embrace your situations, embrace everywhere that God has you and everything He's challenged you with. Because here's the truth of it. God never challenged you with anything He didn't already work out. He's worked your life out. He's worked your salvation out. He's even worked your death out. Our only job is to be the best version of us right now, in this moment. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind. What's the little monkey in Lion King say? He whacks him with a stick right on top of the head. He goes, the lion looks at him and says, what was that for? And he said, it doesn't matter. It's in the past. What can you do about it now? Paul said this. He said, because of Jesus, I can forget the things that are in my past. It's behind me. But I'm going to press forward. I'm going to press towards my mark, the high calling of Jesus Christ that's in front of me, not in front of you. You find your own mark. Mind your own business. Get to your own calling. I'm going to be the best version of me that I can be. And when I'm done, when you're done, God will look at you and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You did good with what you had to face. You know what? If you're here today and you're under condemnation, you're under guilt, the first thing I can say is, one, make sure that your heart's right with the Lord. Have I accepted God? Am I in that place? Am I being obedient? You say, yeah, I'm being obedient, but I still struggle. I'm just going to say this. Welcome to the club. You're in good company. Does this make sense? God said, I saved you while you were still a sinner. Well, guess what? You're still a sinner. I counted the cost for you, knowing the process. So quit comparing your holiness to everybody else's holiness. Jesus said, you be holy as I am holy, not as your neighbor is holy. You enjoy vacation. Because I'm going to tell you what, some people go on cruises and don't have fun. But some people camp in their backyard and make family memories that will last a lifetime. Destination is about attitude, not altitude. Does that make sense? It's not about where you go. It's about enjoying the moment that you're in. Do you feel this? When you quit comparing and you just live, in the fullness of God. You'll find a freedom that you've never had before. Because here's the thing, if you're not comparing yourself to them, you also don't care what they criticize you for. There's so much freedom in that. Will you stand to your feet? Father, as we come to close, God, I just thank you for an opportunity to be here. God, let us live this week without comparison, Father, without condemnation, Father, without looking outwardly for all these approvals, but God, rather looking towards heaven to have the author and the finisher of our faith put your stamp of approval on us. Father, we're going to praise you for everything that you do in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to Thrive Church. We hope today's message touched your life. You can share your testimony with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.